What's up, everybody? The fantasy hockey season is winding down, but we here at Apples and Genos, we're going to keep going until the wheels fall off. In today's episode, I've got my boy Josh Hutchinson here with me to give you some thoughts on potential streamers for the week. We do a zero-G check-in, and we take your mailbag questions. Also, I am proud to announce that this right here is our 300th episode. This is the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Let's get to biz. Presented by Apples and Genos, the number one fruit-based fantasy hockey podcast out there. Confirmed, the only fruit-based fantasy hockey podcast out there. So yeah, we're taking the dub on that. Welcome in. I am your host, Blake Creamer. Please follow me over on Twitter /X. I've also got my boy, Josh Hutchinson here. Buddy, how you doing? Thank you so much for joining me. What's going on with you, my man?
Oh, not too much, man. It's been a weird week. I find myself still checking my Yahoo app and my Fantrax app just kind of habitually and being like, oh yeah, there's nothing to do right now. So it's a bit of a strange one. We decided to combine Cream of the Crop and Rolling Lines this week just because the content's a little thin at this point. And honestly, I mean, obviously, a number of you are still in leagues. I am still in one, but the content is dry right now for sure. But I think we've got some interesting things to talk about today.
Oh, we always have interesting things to talk about, buddy. That's confirmed as well. So yeah, there we go. Before we move on, I should mention, get in our Discord. We're still doing stuff in there. We got 1,100 members. Damn, Joshy, 1,100 members. Are you aware of this?
I can't believe that. Yeah, I just saw that the other day. It's awesome.
Yep, awesome. And we've got a YouTube as well. So give us a subscribe over there. You know what? Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast has been going strong all year. And this right here, this is episode 300. Oh my God. We did it. Josh, remember when we did the 100 episode last year and that felt like kind of a big deal? And now we just rolled past 200 like we didn't give a damn. And now we're at 300 and this is crazy, man. Like this has been such a fun year. I don't know what's been your experience this year? Like obviously, you know, doing the podcast and jumping in here and there as well. Like it feels different this year, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the audience engagement has increased significantly. Like, I think our audience numbers have kind of exponentially increased over the last year. So it's very interesting. Obviously, there's been a lot of change. I lost my co-host, so Rolling Lines kind of was an ever evolving show on the network. So that was definitely interesting and fun. Bringing guests on, that was new for me. I'd never really done that before, so that was a lot of fun, just kind of talking to different people in the community and actually like talking to people face to face that I've only really talked to on Twitter and Discord and stuff like that. So so that was definitely different, but another part of this year that was different was I performed by far the poorest overall out of any of my fantasy hockey years. And I don't know if I think part of that is I was just in more competitive leagues this year. But then also, like, I think my bandwidth, I spread myself too thin. I got into 10 leagues and had less time to focus on it than I've ever had in my life. Just my kids are getting a little bit older but like still quite young, like in toddler phase, both of them. So things are just a little bit busier, and I just didn't account for that. I think increasing the number of fantasy hockey leagues was probably not the best idea at this stage of the game, but you know, we live and learn.
Yeah, that's so hard, isn't it, in draft season, because people are like, hey, you want to be in this league with me? Or like,
yeah,
You damn Skippy, I do. Like, yeah. When's the draft? You know what I mean? But then at the end of the day, you're like, why am I in 12 leagues? Like, this yeah. makes no sense. But buddy, you should have prefaced that whole thing with, yeah, you have young kids. All right. That is,
yeah,
that's that. And that alone is the only reason why we can't get to things, in a timely manner sometimes. So I'm with you on that. I was really lucky this year. I did have a little bit of time off work. And so I was able to really kind of put full effort in here with fantasy hockey, which is a funny thing to say, isn't it? Like, I went 100 on fantasy hockey this year. People are like, what? I'm like, yeah, that's what I do. So, the other thing for me is
like, here's the thing. Also, I work nights. And so that does give me an advantage in terms of ads at 3 a.m. But the disadvantage is I sleep in the daytime, which is when all the lines come out, all the news and all the like new news about lineup changes, injuries and all this stuff. So when I wake up, sometimes it's like I just don't have the time to adjust, do any last minute changes because it's like waking up there with the kids. And that's another thing where like, yeah, there are advantages to that lifestyle, but there are some significant disadvantages there too.
Well, buddy, rest assured, you're one of the best fantasy hockey players out there. It's confirmed. All right. Thanks, you know, Nate said something recently that I really appreciated. It's just like, we trust the process and the results will come, right? Like, so we just, and like you and I and Nate, we just stuck with the process the whole season, and you win some, you lose some, right? This is a lucky sport. Ultimately, it comes down to luck in a lot of cases, right? Especially when it's head to head in your playoffs, like, you know, your guys crush all year and then they take a week off like at the worst possible time. I mean, damn, you know, speaking of Vinny Tro, he really let me down. He let me down big time in my finals in the Experts League. Just gave me donuts across the board. I don't know, but you know, he's been carrying the team all year. So rest up, King. But damn, oh my God. But anyways,
still a friend of the show.
Yeah, of course. He'll never not be a friend of the show. You know, and he's a very close friend of mine. You know, we work out together, high five together all the time. That's how we get the biz. That's a pipe dream. That's not true, but that's fine. All right. We have digressed, but I just haven't seen you in a little while, so I'm happy to catch up with you. We are going to do on today's show here, first, we're going to do a little bit of news and notes, just some quick stuff here. There's some interesting news that came out. So we are still trying to focus on the rest of the season here. So the people that are still playing, we want to get you those dubs. All right. So that's what is going to be the focus of this episode here. And how we're going to do that, Josh and I are going to look at some of the teams with the best and worst schedules for the remainder of the season here and rank some of their players in a little segment that we like to call Start, Bench, Cut. All right. So yeah, you know, we're having a good time here. We're getting creative. I need to express myself. All right. And I need to be validated. That's clear. And then also we're going to go do a check-in on some 0G goalies and give you some idea of who you should be rostering to get the most games played in for the remainder of the season. And lastly, we're going to do a mailbag segment. Mail time. Yeah.
Mail time.
Oh, buddy, you get me. All right. I did that before and I had to reference. I mean, this is Blues Clues, everybody, but yeah. You know. Josh, you're with me on this. My brother in fantasy. Okay. So we'll do that. We'll do a little mailbag segment to finish you off. Giggity. All right. But before we get into all that, let's talk a little bit of news and notes, shall we? All right. I'm going to rip through some of this. Okay. So good little bit of news out of Vancouver. Thatcher Demko. He's close to returning. Oh my God. Like this cannot come soon enough. Yeah, really. So he was on the ice for practice today, which is Tuesday. So, I mean, he was only out there for like 30 minutes. So that's not great, but I think, could we see him Wednesday against the Coyotes? Maybe. Right. And if not, then the Canucks next game is Saturday against the Oilers. That might be a good one for him to return as well. If he takes this next game off on Wednesday and then really, you know, just has that extra time to practice up and heal up. So, but it can't come soon enough. Canucks did have a nice win against Vegas on Monday. That was really, really key. So, I'm low key excited about the Canucks into the playoffs here. But damn, buddy, I've been hurt so many times. Like, where are you at with the Canucks? Do you think they have a shot of doing anything in the playoffs?
I think everyone has a shot at doing anything in the playoffs. That's the thing about the NHL is it's so random. when it gets down to it, mm-hmm. I find that the best team doesn't necessarily win every year. It's the team that has the most mental toughness, mm-hmm. and that can withstand just the physical battle that is like however many weeks of intense hockey. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of teams have shown that they're really good in the regular season, and then just can't do it in the playoffs. The Canucks are kind of unproven. Like, we haven't really mm-hmm. seen them do a whole lot. I know that this core had made the playoffs in the bubble and had a small run then, but it's changed quite a bit since then too. So I don't know. Like, it really depends on who they play. I think they've got a great shot of getting through the first round at the very least, just with locking up that top spot. I don't know. I guess it's not locked up yet, but it's yeah. pretty much locked up at this point.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, as a Canucks fan, that's really all we need. Like, you know, just win the round. You have to zoom out a little bit if you're a Canucks fan and look at what our expectations were at the beginning of the season, which was jack squat. All right. Yeah. And now, like, we got to be happy with that. So I urge Canucks fans to zoom out and just be we're happy to be here. That's all it is. If you win a round, that'd be amazing. I mean, you know, obviously you give yourself a good chance there. But anywho, enough Canucks talk. I can do that later on my own while I'm crying, looking into a mirror. All right. The next thing we got to talk about, Connor McDavid. Lower body injury. Mm. Sheesh. Oh, I mean, I feel like this has got to be like out of an abundance of caution, right? Like, they're going into the playoffs. There's six games left. I mean, why do they need to trot him out? Like, they're fine here. But it sounds like he might miss the next game. He didn't play the last 5 minutes of the game against Calgary. So, I mean, what are your thoughts in terms of Edmonton, like what their potential lines would be? And more importantly, the power play. Who takes Connor McDavid's spot on that power play, Josh?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think you probably go with Evander Kane. I know he's had his struggles lately, and you've seen the how rocky the relationship is there. You saw Corey Perry just like laying into him on the bench, which is crazy. And then the whole Hockey Night in Canada. I watched them show it on Hockey Night in Canada, and Kevin BX is like, man, Corey Perry just doesn't do that. So, like, you really got to get under his skin for him to start yelling at you on the bench. And I mean, we see this on every stop for Evander Kane, but he has been the guy to step up when Connor McDavid's been out in the past. So I see that him probably being the guy on that power play. Another thing is Connor McDavid's sitting on 99 assists right now. Can you imagine if they keep him out for the rest of the season just to keep him healthy, and he just sits on that 99 assist mark? That would be so sad.
It would be sad. I mean, this guy, remember where the Oilers were the first third of the season, how bad they looked. I mean, they got a coach fired, and this guy's still here at the end of the day. Like, he's heads and shoulders above everybody as the best player in the league. I mean, I know McKinnon is looking amazing this year, Kucherov, but I mean, in a bubble, give me McDavid all day. I think that makes sense. But yeah, I agree with you on Evander Kane. I think that's probably the move there. But I think everybody's going to get a little bit of a boost, right? You lose McDavid, but they still have some killers there, right? Like, Leon Draisaitl's going to go bananas. I mean, you could see guys like Warren Fogle doing something. I don't know. Nuge is going to get bumped up to that top line as well at even strength. So good stuff over there. I'm sure that, you know, they're just keeping him out to get him healthy for the playoffs. Okay, let's move on over to Seattle, who does have a good schedule this week. We got to talk about some of their injuries, Jared McCann and Vince Dunn. They're still not skating with the team. Actually, Vince Dunn has an upper body injury. McCann has a lower body injury. No update as to when they're going to return. So bump up your Seattle streamers a little higher. God, did you spend much time streaming the Kraken in this season?
Yeah, not much. Not as much as in years past. Last year I was streaming Kraken in all the time just because they were so hot. With varying success. Just because you never really knew who was gonna pop off at what time. But Oliver Bjorkstrand was a guy that I streamed and held near the end of the year just because he has near the highest offensive upside on that team, outside of maybe Jared McCann. So I mean, that was a guy that I had streamed in at times, Eli Tolvanen as well. But outside of that, I mean, the Kraken weren't really a team that I touched too much this year.
Yeah. Even Jared McCann. I mean, I know he should be rostered, but it's like, it doesn't feel good. You know what I mean? Like the guy massively overachieved with his efficiency last year. And now we're expecting him to do it again. Like, yeah, he's doing well.
At least, at least we predicted it. At least we predicted a dip, right?
That's right, buddy. These things we tell you folks will not be wrong. All right. 60% of the time they work every time. Josh, am I right?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Is it 60? Is 60% high enough, or is it too high? I don't know. We'll do the math later. That's fine. Let's keep going over to St. Louis. Just some news about Justin Falk. He's going to be week to week, likely out for the season. There, they only have 4 games left, so scratch him. Get him the hell out of my sight. How about hey neighbor, Jake Neighbors? He's more day to day, so we could see him back. He may be viable. Both are out with upper body injuries, but I mean, they're streamer level guys at this point. Neighbors, if he comes back in, are we really picking him up for 2 games? Probably not. All right. So that's something to think about. Moving on to Colorado. How about Mikko Rantanen? He's going to miss tonight's game, which is Tuesday, but he's on track to return in the next game or two from a possible concussion there. So that's best case scenario after that hit from Matthias Ekholm. He got caught in the trolley tracks. So that's best case scenario for Avalanche. And obviously they need Rantanen doing his thing there. But yeah, how good have, if this is not a rocket science, but McKinnon and Rantanen been this year? Like it's just been lights out for these guys.
Yeah, they've been awesome. I think the success of Rantanen will almost kind of take heart votes away from Nate McKinnon just because the race is so close. I think at this point, especially with the McDavid injury now, I think it's Kucherov's award to lose. I think that guy, there's such a disparity between him and the rest of the players on his team, which is crazy just because Tampa in the past has been so deep. They're not very deep right now. And Kucherov has been willing that team into a playoff position. So, I think Rantanen, that injury looked worse. And honestly, like with concussions, like, do you rush him back for the last few games of the season? Like, I don't know if I would, but if you have him on your team and you're still going in fantasy, you hope they rush him back.
Concussion be damned. I don't care if your brain hit the inside of your skull. Like, get your butt out there on the ice and get the business. Yeah, but that's fine. And lastly, we got to talk about Jack Hughes. He's out with an upper body injury right now and could miss the remaining 4 games of the season here. It's not great. Like when intern coach Travis Green was asked if this is a long-term thing, he said, "We'll see." Okay, that is not what you want. You want him to be like, "Get out of here. What are you talking about? You're crazy." All right, he's coming back. No, not "we'll see." So that's not good for Jack Hughes. I think that Jack Hughes he hasn't been fully healthy since he's been back here from that injury. He's not playing to potential, and I think that's going to equal massive value for Jack Hughes next season. But he's still going to finish the season it's been a great season for Jack Hughes statistically, but his ceiling is so much higher. I don't know. Are you feeling that take on Jack Hughes, Josh?
Oh, I 100% agree. I think going into that initial injury, he was scoring at an absolutely ridiculous pace, and he just hasn't looked the same since. Now, part of that, I imagine, is just vibes around New Jersey, just because that team has wildly underachieved this year and has been exposed defensively. Goaltending has been absolutely dog shit. Jake Allen has kind of tempered that a little bit, but it's too little too late at this point. So I think it's hard to reach your full potential when your the vibes are so disappointing around that dressing room. So that could be a factor, but I agree. I think there's probably some injury, lingering injuries that have been involved with Jack Hughes as well.
Yeah, that would absolutely make sense to me. So yeah, hopefully we get that kind of reporting after the season's done, like what he's dealing with and what he has dealt with, because it would just make me feel better. All right. This guy to me is a first rounder. And, you know, for most of the season, he didn't play that way, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But all right. That is the news. That's that. This is this. You know what? I think we should get right into start bench cut here, Josh. We're 18 minutes in. I'm feeling good. Let's give the people what they want. Let's give them the value. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, yeah, buddy, this guy jacks you up. Okay, Let's start with the Vegas Golden Knights, who still have a very good schedule. They've got five games left, all on the off nights. So they're Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever it is, Saturday. They're good to go. Anyways, they're all off nights. So again, this is start, bench, cut. And I want to get your take on this, Joshy. We got Thomas the Turtle Hurdle, Noah Hanifin, and Shea Theodore. Start, bench, cut. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's really tough. Obviously, Noah Hanifin has been quarterbacking power play one, which is a bit of a surprise. And they looked quite good in the last game. Hurdle also getting some time on that top power play. I think I'd probably... that's really hard because you don't know if Shea Theodore is going to get moved back in there at some point. But he's kind of gone cold over the last couple weeks. So I think I'm probably starting. I'm probably starting Noah Hanifin right now, just because of the ice time he's getting and the position he's in. Thomas Hurdle, I think I'm probably benching. It's really close between these three.
Yeah.
And then Theodore, I'm probably cutting, but I mean, they're pretty interchangeable. It's very, very close. And it's really based on deployment currently and whether or not they stick with it. So, and that could change tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it, man. That's the point of the exercise. And I like that. We're looking to what's going to help right now. Like, I mean, in a bubble, I think these questions are a lot easier, right? But you know, what are we doing? So for me, I think, because of what's going on with Hanifin and Theodore, like who knows? Like Theodore, first off, this guy's on a 76-point pace on the season. Granted, he's only played 42 games, but this is an offensive player who probably should be running that top power play, to be honest, but he's not. Yeah. Noah Hanifin had a nice game here in the last game, and the metrics are a little better for Hanifin over his last five as well. But I think I got to go Hurdle. I got to start Hurdle because, and granted, that's a bit of a risky play too. But to me, like 20 minutes in his first game back off injury, he looked fine out there. One assist, he had four hits, and power play one. So to me, that is, I don't see why they would go away from that at this point, right? And one thing I like about Hurdle there in Vegas is he's signed to term. Right. They traded for a guy who has term on his contract. And like, I don't remember what he's making, something like $8 million or something like that. Like they have every reason to like put this guy out here and get him, you know, or develop him into a core player on this team. So I just trust that a little bit better with what they're doing with Hanifin and Theodore. I think that's going to be based on whoever's got the power play. That's who is the most valuable player there. And right now Hanifin has it. So I think I'd go Hurdle.
Yeah.
Start Hurdle. Bench Hanifin. And when we say bench, we're basically like, yeah, they're still on your team, but we wouldn't drop them. And then Theodore, I think we're saying, yeah, if you have to drop one of those three, I'd drop Theodore right now just because of the deployment. We can't wait for that to pick back up. Hey, Joshy.
Big C and I in our inaugural midweek podcast season did a segment called Stream Save Sucks. And every single time we prefaced, we don't actually think this guy sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just, this is just, that's just what we're calling this.
Yeah.
Right now. It's not, I would put it, I would like any of these guys in my lineup right now, but
they should all be rostered in this schedule, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Cool. But you know what? That doesn't really work. We can't just say start bench and bench, you know,
start.
That's showing the good. Yep. Start. It feels good. All right. Let's move on to Edmonton. All right. That's the next team here. Edmonton has six games left. They're the only team with six games left starting on Wednesday, right? So six games with five off nights, clear best schedule moving forward. Unfortunately, their streamers are hot garbage, but you know, that's fine. So let's look at some of these streamers again. Start, bench, cut. We're looking at Warren, McLovin-Fogel, Evander Kane, and Adam Henrique. Start, bench, cut, Joshy. What are you doing?
This is another one that's close for me. I think when I looked at this last night, I was thinking Evander Kane was going to be my cut. But if he gets top power play with McDavid out, then he's my start. So that's how close it is for me right now. It's a shame that that his value has fallen so far, but he's just really struggled lately. He's not looked like the same player. I don't know really what's going on there, whether there's an injury. He's obviously playing down the lineup and playing with players that aren't necessarily play drivers. Mm-hmm. I think Adam Henrique is probably my bench and Warren Fogle would be my cut. Although it hurts me because I love my McLovin, but I think that I think Henrique is gets the edge. I don't know, just because he's been around longer
and yeah, has sure.
like a more proven track record.
He's got a nice face. Yeah,
we
No, I like that too. And it is, without this McDavid news, I think it's a little bit easier for me, even with Kane in there. Like, I wasn't super stoked on him, but if he gets moved up to power play one, and again, that's not confirmed, right? I think there's a chance that, Henrique gets moved up to power play one.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be one of them. And I would almost lean Henrique at this point, just with what's going on with Kane currently, like this business, you know, on the bench. And I mean, that's just one little piece, right? But like, what else has gone on behind the scenes? And I don't know. So I think if push came to shove, I think I would start Adam Henrique, bench Kane and McLovin. I'm sorry, buddy, you got to get cut. But you know, this man literally won me a matchup during the season in one of my category leagues. So I got so much love for McLovin when he popped off for like a 5-point game or something like that. Just an epic beauty. So shout out to McLovin. I mean, this guy's a metrics wizard as well. So if he ever got any reasonable ice time, power play one, like bang, we could be looking at a real player here. But I mean, he's on the wrong team to have that happen, isn't he, Josh?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So there we go there. We're going to move on to Calgary now. Their schedule, they have 5 games with 4 off nights, right? They have a back-to-back on Thursday, Friday to start that off. So I wanted to look at some of these beauties. And we got to talk about Big Cousy. Yo! I love that I'm talking about Big Cousy again. This is a nice little story. This man stunk this year. There's no question. Got out of favor with 2 coaches and somehow found his way back into favor with Ryan Huska there on the Flames. So we got Andre Kuzmenko, Blake the Snake Coleman, and Jonathan Huberdeau. Start, bench, cut. What say you?
Yeah, man, I think I'm starting Andre Kuzmenko. This guy's been red hot the last 5 games. He's got 4, 6, 7, 8, 9 points in his last 5 games. He's been shooting the puck, although last game didn't have any shots. But his ice time has also been pretty high. Like he's been getting 18 to 20 minutes a game the last little bit. Playing with Nazem Kadri and Martin Pospisil, on probably the best 5v5 line there.
Yep.
That I think tips him over the edge for me. Obviously him and Huberdeau get power play time, but I don't like Huberdeau's situation 5v5 as much. He's playing a little lower in the lineup. And then Blake Coleman obviously has had a surprisingly productive year against the Perifs, but I think he doesn't get the power play time. So I would probably start Kuzmenko, bench Coleman, and cut Jonathan Huberdeau.
Isn't that an insane thing to say? Because I agree 100% with your take. It's like, Huberdeau, I'm sorry, my man. Like, he's about to go for another 50 to 55 point season. What the hell? I don't get it. Like, this is where, like, I want to, moving forward with Apples and Genos, like, I want to get beat writers in here. I want to really get granular on what the hell is going on in these dressing rooms. What is the vibe? What is Huberdeau dealing with? And why is there such a drop off from one season to the next? Like, is he a player that solely relies on like his teammates to kind of boost his production? Or like, I just didn't think that was the case when you put up 115 point season, right? But obviously that was his ceiling, but I certainly didn't think his floor could be down in the 50s. It doesn't make any sense. So I absolutely agree. Cousy, we got to go for it, buddy. This guy's got 9 points in the last 5. I'm here for it. I love that. Metrics terrible as usual, but who gives a damn? And then, Blake Coleman. The metrics for Blake Coleman all year have been pretty nice. Last 5 games, even though he only has 1 goal, like, he's 43rd in shots to goal per 60 and 9th overall in individual scoring chances for per 60. So that's great. I think some production will come, so I definitely bench him. And Huberdeau, sorry, buddy, get the hell out of my sight. We got to get that garbage out of here and do it now. Okay. All right, let's move on to another team here, Seattle. Release the Kraken. The Kraken have been released. They're all on the waiver wire. Okay. They play 5 games with 3 off nights. So we got to have a look at them here. And for start, bench, cut with Seattle, I've got, some of their, quote unquote, top guns. We're looking at Jordan Eberle, Matty Beniers, who's been playing better as of late, and then Oliver Bjorkstrand, the Jerk Store. So talk to me about these players. Start, bench, cut, Josh.
Yeah, Bjorkstrand's my home run start for sure. This guy has pretty nice underlying numbers off and on all season, and has for quite a few years previous. Yeah. Is getting a little bit more opportunity to flourish offensively this year than he did last year in his first year in Seattle. Getting a little bit more ice time. So and playing with more offensively minded players, which definitely helps. Eberle would be my bench. I think Eberle is pretty steady Eddie on the point production. So that's a guy that I can trust. And Matty Beniers is kind of like he'll be my cut, because he's so hot and cold. He's picked it up a little bit lately, but the underlyings are just haven't popped for him. Like I still have hope for him as a player moving forward, but it is hard to flourish there in Seattle when your line mates are kind of fluctuated all times. And I mean, they're pretty steady in terms of keeping their lines together, but they just roll them all pretty evenly. So I think Matty Beniers would be my cut in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. I think Bjorkstrand's the clear start here. Even though he gets a little bit less ice time, I just trust the metrics a little bit better. This is a guy that shoots, right? On a team of players that they don't really shoot a ton, right? Besides Jared McCann, yeah. Like Bjorkstrand's probably the next guy up there. He's one of the most, he's probably their second best sniper on the team, right? So I'm always going to go with the guy who's going to give you the best chance of getting some goals. But for me, I think I would go Beniers here over Eberle. I mean, I agree with your take on Eberle too. This guy's steady Eddie, like, you know what you're getting with the player. There's going to be no surprises. He's a really boring player and consistent in what he does, right? But to me, I think Beniers is trending upwards slightly, right? Like, he's had a terrible year. If we look at Beniers, like, this guy's after a 57 point season last year, he's got 34 points right now. He's trending for 39. Like, that stinks, you know, and his shots are down, right? He's not shooting as much. He's not hitting as much. He does have one more power play point, though. So congratulations to you, Matty Beniers. But yeah, and he's getting more ice time than he got last year. So I think this is going to be a player for sure, but I don't think he'll get drafted next season in draft season. And you might just be able to pick this guy up off on the wire if he's, for some reason, starts getting prioritized, which he probably should with some of these players here, right? So anyways, I'm starting the jerk store, benching Matty Beniers, and kicking Jordan Eberle to the curb. Thank you for your service. Let's move on. We are almost done with some of these players here. I want to talk about Arizona. So Arizona Coyotes have a decent schedule as well. They only play four games, but they're all on off nights. So especially like up until Monday, like they play Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. So Arizona is absolutely viable and they've got some good streamers. So we got to look at that. So start bench cut for these Coyote players. We're looking at Dylan Guenther, Nick Schmaltz, and the Jersey Shore, Sean Durzi. What say you, Josh? Because these are some good streamers here. How are you ranking them?
This is a really hard one. And mainly, first of all, I'll start with my start, because I think this is a home run, and it's Nicky Schmaltz. Nick Schmaltz has been killing it the last couple of months. He's been back up to, I believe he has 29 points his last 23 games. I looked at it last night. He's been banging on all cylinders, scoring points every night, multi-point nights all over the place, playing with Clayton Keller again. Clayton Keller and Nick Bjugstad, by the way. Nick Bjugstad having a fun little year. So Nick Schmaltz is my definite start. It gets a little more interesting when we talk about bench and cut, just because Sean Durzi has not been incredibly productive lately, but I just can't justify cutting a power play one defenseman. So that's a guy that he probably gets the edge because he's a defenseman, but Dylan Guenther has had really nice underlying numbers lately. Yeah. His production has, like, he's really coming into his own as a player here. And he's getting power play time, like, but the 5v5, that's the situation where I think that kind of hurts him a little bit, just because he's playing on a bit of a kid line with Logan Cooley. And they're getting the least ice time 5v5 out of any line on that team. So really getting a lot of production on the power play, which is good. But I think that I probably bench Durzi just because he's a defenseman, and then Genther would be my cut, but it's very close.
Yeah, no, I agree with that one. I'm right on, in line with you on that. Nick Schmaltz, this is a slam dunk. This guy gets minutes. His metrics are, you know, not good. They never have been, but it doesn't matter for Nick Schmaltz. He's just good at doing the thing, right? Yeah, efficient, and he's got chemistry with Clayton Keller, so that's a really nice piece there. And he's top power play, and this power play is decent. One thing that's funny about the Coyotes is they've had these random offensive explosions here in the last, like, 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Like, you know, they're losing games like 7-4, or they're winning 8-2, or whatever it is. You know, it's like they're a low key source of offense. So, I mean, in a perfect world, all three of these guys they're viable. They should probably all be rostered for these off nights. Right. But yeah, I would definitely go Schmaltz. And like, I totally agree with your point here, a power play one defenseman, and it's not going anywhere for Sean Durzi. He's going to be the power play one defenseman until the end of the season. So yeah, is he's not really producing to the level that we want at this point, but the underlying metrics are good. He's got 2 points in his last five games, good minutes, 25th overall in shots on goal per 60 for defense, and 11th overall in individual scoring chances for per 60 for defensemen over the last five. So that's a nice place to be, right? He's a little bit unlucky, but I think, you know, he's going to get in on the action here. And then obviously Dylan Genther, this is a player that, I think we need to keep our eye on, right? This is a guy moving into next year. Like, how's he deployed? Is he getting, like, you know, the 16 to 19 minute treatment here with power play one? Because maybe we got like a 50 point player here, maybe 60 if he really gets some deployment, right? Like, I think it's a nice trajectory for that player, and it's someone I'm low key interested in moving forward into next season.
Yeah, for sure. That's a guy that I've talked about as a sleeper, I think, for the last couple of years, but he just hasn't gotten the opportunity in the lineup. Like, this year, it took a while for him to even get called up from Tucson. So so next year, I imagine he's solidified his spot in the lineup at this point, just because of the production that he's had, and the way that they're deploying him on the power play. I think he's a huge player for them going forward. So that's definitely a guy I would be watching for next year to pop off.
There you go. Shout out to Dylan Genther. All right, we need to talk about a couple teams that have not so good of a schedule, and what are we doing with some of the studs on those teams. All right, so we got four teams here for you. I want to start off with the Buffalo Sabres. All right, and the Sabres, it's stinky. They play from that time, they play three games with one off night. They play Thursday, Saturday, and Monday, and that's it, right? So with that in mind, Josh, what are we doing with JJ Paterka, Alex Tuch, and Dylan Cousins? Start, bench, cut. What are you doing? Who's worth it for three games?
This is extremely interesting. I think cut. There's an easy cut here, and it's Dylan Cousins. Just sheerly based on deployment and production, really. Because Tuch and Paterka have been absolutely exploding, playing together on the top line with Tage Thompson, playing together on the top power play with Tage Thompson. All three of them have been absolutely popping off offensively. Between Tuch and Paterka, it's really close. I honestly don't know what I would do here. I'm just gonna pull up some recent numbers, because they're very close. I think Paterka's scoring more goals and putting more to the net, so that's probably where I would go, is Paterka. But then Alex Tuch it's so close, man. It is they're very similar. I think I'm gonna go Paterka. The interesting thing is they're both right wing eligible in Yahoo, that neither of them got flipped. Even though I think Paterka is playing the left wing, he's a left shot, so that would make sense. But I'm gonna go Paterka just based on vibes right now.
Yeah.
And but it's very close between those two.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think I agree with you. I'd probably take Peterka here, which is crazy. Like at the start of the year, if you're making this decision, like, oh, Alex Tuck or JJ Peterka, you know, to win your fantasy league, it's like, well, I'll take Alex Tuck, please. And thank you. Like, no. But the fact is they're both playing amazing, right? Yeah. Like JJ Peterka, 5 points in his last five games. Alex Tuck, 8 points in his last five games, right? But the big factor here, first off, they're both getting major minutes as well. Like Alex Tuck is playing. Yeah. 21 and a half minutes averaged in the last five, and JJ Peterka is playing just over 20 minutes. So that's more than enough for both these players. So to me, the real tiebreaker is going to be metrics, and the metrics for Peterka are far superior. So I think that's making me feel a little bit better. Like I think the Sabres are leading into this player a little bit just to see what they have here. They're really giving him a long leash, and he looks good too. But I mean, last five games, 20th overall in shots and goal per 60, 14th overall in individual Corsi for, and 29th overall in individual scoring chances. Like that's a great place to be, right? This guy's, he's got 50 points on the season. It's awesome. I tried to snake him from Dynasty League I was in at the beginning of the year. I'm like, yeah, JJ Peterka, what's it gonna take? Like I was willing to give anything. They weren't budging. So and turns out I was absolutely correct as usual, right, Joshy?
Oh yeah.
Thanks. I needed that pat on the back. Okay, so we're together on that. Dylan Cousins, get the hell out of my sight. Thank you for your season. That's a big contract for Dylan Cousins that they have to have him toiling away second line, second power play. Right now they're putting the butler Zach Benson on the top power play centering that. So I could see Dylan Cousins getting back on the top power play. I don't know why they're doing that. Mr. Granato, can you make it make sense, please? He makes some strange decisions. I think he's,
It could just be similar to Peterka where they're just trying to see what they have in these young players now that they're out of the playoff race pretty much. Like they're not technically eliminated. And honestly, with the way that the Eastern Conference playoff race is going for that last wild card spot, it seems like no one wants it. So maybe Buffalo gets himself back into the race in these next few games here, but I it's pretty unlikely at this point.
Everyone's just backing themselves out of a playoff spot. They're like, no, it's like a Canadian standoff. No, you go. Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I do think I want Pittsburgh to make it. Yeah. I think that's such a funny story. Like even the last few days, like I think when I recorded Rolling Lines last week, I was talking about Nedeljkovic, and I'm just like, yeah, they're out of the race, but Nedeljkovic is getting starts and he's looking pretty good and they're winning games and whatever. And then I look at the standings after and I'm like, oh shit, they're like right there.
Right there. It's awesome, man. Yeah, that's my pick, like my fan pick, my hockey fan pick.
Yeah.
Like, get Pittsburgh back in there. You got like, obviously I want to see Ovi too, but if they make the playoffs, like their team stinks. They're not going to do anything, right? Whereas Pittsburgh could do something. Obviously they have some amazing players there. Crosby is unbelievable. He's an unbelievable player. We know this. It's not a hot take, but what he's able to do at this age, like this speed, this like he just looks like he's on another level out there. You know, what is he like, 36? I mean, that's wild stuff. So shout out to Sid Crosby. Anyways, we're digressing, but that's what we're doing with Buffalo. We got to move over to Dallas.
Can I digress for one more second? Michael Bunting is, in terms of trade deadline acquisitions, he is third in points out of all the trade deadline acquisitions. So that is crazy.
You know what? I didn't think there would be a time here on the Absolute Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast where we'd be giving Michael Bunting the bunt cake his flowers, but I think we have to, buddy. 6 points in five games. Michael Bunting, thank you for your service. That's pretty damn nice. So yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. You know, we need attention brought to players that I can't stand so that we, you know, they get their flowers, right? All right, there we go. Let's move over to Dallas. Dallas has the same schedule, three games with one off night. They play Thursday, Saturday, and then they play on Wednesday, the 17th. So yeah, holding your Dallas players is going to be, you're going to have to make some tough choices here. And we're looking at players like Joe Pavelski, Wyatt Johnston, and Jamie Benn. Start, bench, cut of those three. How are you handling this one, Josh?
Oh, this is a tough one too. So Johnston has the worst deployment out of all of these three, just because he plays with Jamie Benn 5v5, but Jamie Benn gets power play time. Jamie Benn been absolutely popping off for the last couple months.
Against all odds.
Pretty much as soon as I dropped him after he was ice cold for forever, And then I kept Matt Duchene over Jamie Benn in the kick-up poll, and Duchene has been so bad. He's been like the only player not scoring on Dallas for like 2 months, which is so disappointing. But yeah, I think I probably go Wyatt Johnson, though. I was going to say he has the worst deployment, but he has the best metrics by far. And honestly, his point production has been pretty similar to these other two, despite the worst deployment. So I think I probably, in a vacuum, I go Wyatt Johnson as a start. But I'm probably sticking with Joe Pavelski just because he gets the top line, top power play. And then between Ben and Johnson, I think I bench Johnson and I cut Jamie Benn still. I still don't believe what Jamie Benn's doing, despite him proving me wrong. But I feel more comfortable with Wyatt Johnson at this point.
Yeah, I like your logic here just with Pavelski and Johnston, because those are the two that I'm absolutely interested in. But at this point of the year, like, it's like, how much, what's your risk tolerance, right? Like Pavelski, yeah, he's on the top line, top power play, like for better or for worse. Like, he has 5 points in the last five games. That's safe. And I think, yeah, like if you're way down in games and you have to make that kind of decision, like go with Johnston, right? Because I think there's a higher ceiling there. But I mean, Pavelski's old faithful, so I think I have to agree with you there. Start Pavelski, bench Johnston and let's shout this man out. Like, 7 points in the last five games, metrics in the last five games, stupid for Wyatt Johnston. Seventh overall in shots and goal per 60, fourth overall in shot attempts per 60, and fourth overall in the league in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. Wyatt Johnston. Nate has given us a hot take. He said that Wyatt Johnston is going to lead the Dallas Stars in points next season. What do you think about this, Joshy?
I can't argue with that, honestly.
Yeah, like, it's hard to at this point.
I mean, it wouldn't be surprised. We saw him get a look on the top line this year for an extended period of time with Robertson and Hintz. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up there next year playing on the right side, and Pavelski gets the bump if he's even back. Like, we don't even know if Pavelski's
going back. Yeah, he's on a one-year deal, right?
You would assume so, because he's just such a good fit there. And he's still productive at this stage of his career. Like, I don't think there's any reason for him to retire. But I think that Johnston, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a better spot in the lineup just because he's been so good this year. So yeah, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility at all.
There you go. All right. Shout out to Nate. If it does happen, we have to erase all the evidence. Okay. I don't know if we can.
Except for this right here.
Exactly. We're fine.
We'll just take sound bites of us propping him up and then get rid of all of Nate's.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. All right, we're together on this. All right, let's move on. Florida, they're another team with kind of a stinky schedule. Again, three games with one off night. They play Thursday, Saturday, and Tuesday. So similar to Dallas, only they play the Tuesday. Start, bench, cut, Vladdy Tarasenko, Brandon Montour, and Sam Bennett.
Yeah, this is another interesting one. I think Bennett is my cut here. Maybe in a Bangers Cats, it's a little bit different. Just because he's been hitting up a storm lately, as he tends to do, and he gets the shots, but not getting the opportunity. It was interesting when they had the couple guys out of the lineup, Verhaeghe and Tkachuk. He didn't even get top power play at that point. They put E2 Luce Ryan on there. So it seems like he's kind of down the depth chart in terms of guys getting an opportunity on the top power play. So you're kind of looking at 5v5 and shorthanded efficiency for Sam Bennett. So I think that's a guy that I would probably drop out of these three. Tarasenko has been the hottest and is getting top line, top power play. So I'd probably start him and then bench Brandon Montour. Montour's cooled off a little bit, but still getting that top power play time. So that's probably where I would go here.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's so many moving factors, but exactly what you said there with one of the top studs in Florida going down, you would think Bennett would be the one moved up, but they put Lewis Starnin in there. So that's not a glowing endorsement. And that gets me kind of off of Bennett. Like, this is a player I was interested in all year and still am, right? But I mean, if he can't even get on the top power play with Barkov or Tkachuk out, like, then what are we doing here, right? He's not really helping us out. He's not a very efficient player either. So yeah, I think though, I would probably start Brandon Montour. I think there's a better chance. Obviously, he's out there for more time, right? And that the deployment is really what is driving me towards Montour there. But obviously he's had a very frustrating season. We've talked about him multiple times on Hot Shots and Have Nots on both sides, mostly Have Nots, because he's been a bit stinky this year. This guy's going to be a buy low next year for sure.
Yeah.
But Tarasenko, again, it's just the deployment. Yeah, he's popping off, but he's still playing under 15 minutes a night. The metrics are okay. I mean, he's 26 overall in shot attempts per 60, so that's nice. But that, you know, that does happen. Like, his on-ice numbers are good too, you know, when you're playing with guys like Barkov, right? So yeah, that's what I'm doing. Start Montour, bench Tarasenko. Sam Bennett, thank you for your service. I'm punting you onto the moon. All right. So that's how we're doing Florida. Let's go one more. Let's talk about the New Jersey Devils. All right. And their schedule. New Jersey plays 3-1 as well. They play Thursday, Saturday, and Monday, and then they're done. All right. So in terms of players we're looking at here, how about Timo Meier, Nico Hischier, and Luke Hughes? Start, bench, cut.
Yeah, it's another tough one. These guys are all really close. I think Timo Meier has really changed his season over the last month and a half, and is doing all the things that we saw him do in San Jose, getting really nice deployment as well. Obviously, with Jack Hughes being out the rest of the season, that's not super ideal for him, but I mean, he'll probably play with Hischier at this point. So, I think that Timo Meier is probably my start here. Luke Hughes has picked up his game as well. His metrics have looked a lot better, over the last little while, and has, I mean, he's been top power play for a good chunk, almost the entire season, on that team. So there's no risk of him losing deployment there. So, and he's been putting points on the board too, like pretty consistently. So I think Luke Hughes would be my bench. Nico Hischier my cut, but obviously like Hischier, he's had a slight down year from last year, but he's also picked it up over the last little while. So I don't think that this is, it's close, but I think Timo Meier, the peripheral floor really takes me over the top when picking between him and Nico Hischier. So that's where I would go with that.
Yeah. I like that take a lot. I think I would swap Hischier and Hughes there. I'd probably bench Hischier and drop Luke Hughes, but what a great season for Luke Hughes. Like at the end of the day, this guy's got 45 points in 78 games with 9 goals. And he was, you know, quarterbacking the top power play for most of the season, right? I think they overextended him. Definitely. Like he wasn't ready for that. But like just the fact that he was able to do this and kind of tough it out through the whole season, I'm really high on this player just for his career. I don't know if it's going to be next year, but I think this guy's going to have an amazing career. And it's so weird because he doesn't profile at all like his brothers. Like he's bigger, he's beefier, you know, like Luke or Quinn Hughes, obviously to me, the best defenseman in the league this year. But they don't play at all alike. It's so interesting. So I'm just happy to watch this guy's career. But yeah, Timo Meier, like you said, peripheral floor, good to go. I think there's just going to be more minutes for everybody here. Nico Hischier, if he needed to drop, you could. He does have 5 points in the last 5 games with great deployment, but the metrics stink. I mean, it is what it is, right? I think you got to go with metrics, and that's what Timo Meier brings to the table. All right, buddy, we still got some stuff to do, so I'm going to have to fly through this stuff because I want to get to the mailbag stuff, but I did want to give you just a little bit of goalie help, and you can help me with this, Josh. We'll talk about this real quick, but goalie help for the remainder of the season with an eye on the schedule, all right? So we've talked a lot about the teams that have a great schedule. Now what we want to do is identify some zero-G goalie targets that you could get, and then maybe, Josh, I'll throw to you and just see who you're actually interested in out of these teams. All right. So let's start here. So we got to start with Edmonton. I did talk about their schedule already. We're looking at Calvin Picard, number one, take a number two. So Calvin Picard, he's going to get at the very least, because Edmonton does have 6 games left with 5 off nights. They have 2 back-to-backs. They play Friday, Saturday, and they play Wednesday, Thursday next week. The Edmonton Oilers do. So Picard is guaranteed 2 starts, right? So, again, I'm just throwing that out there. He's been decent this year. He's 18% rostered. So, I mean, I don't think he gets any of those other starts, really, unless they want to give Stuart Skinner a nice break. I don't know, or like a mustache comb to comb that beautiful mustache that he has. Some, you know, beard oil. I don't know where I'm going with this. But, So Picard is probably going to play two out of the remaining six games. I want to move on to Calgary here. Dustin Wolf is going to get the start tonight, which is Tuesday. He's 7% rostered on Yahoo. And it, for me personally, I think there's a good chance that they go with a timeshare at the very least. So like one game on, one game off for Wolf and Markstrom. To me, it's not the greatest for fantasy, obviously. And the Flames as a team are not, that's not a, really a team you want to target for a goaltender. But I mean, this guy's out there. He's only 7% rostered. We need to keep an eye on this situation. Just keep an eye on it because Wolf is, he does have some acumen, obviously, and maybe they decide to go with Wolf for the remainder of the year. But that's another player that we need to have a look at. I want to talk about Chicago as well, the Blackhawks. Peter Mrazek, what the hell? This is a guy you've been on all year pretty much, hey, Josh?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, against all odds, he's performed pretty well in Chicago.
He absolutely has. Like, I mean, he's good to go. And Chicago's schedule, like we said, they have five games with five off nights. He's probably going to get four of those five. Right. So I think like if you're looking for goalie starts, a guy like you know, if saves is a category in your category league, like even his stats aren't horrible. Right. And Chicago's been playing a little bit better as of late. So I don't know. I think he gets four of the remaining five at minimum three. I mean, where are you at with Mrazek? Is that a guy you're interested in moving forward here?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a 908 on the season in Chicago, which is just
damn good.
mind-blowing, man. And even lately, he's been very strong. Like they've been winning some games. He's only been allowing like a couple goals a game lately, which is pretty amazing. And that's in games where he's getting like 30 to 40 shots pelted at him too. So he gets you volume there too. In terms of my interest level, I think there's a few other of these guys that I think I'm more interested in, guys that are in the playoff race.
We'll
touch on in a couple. There's a couple guys that are sub 50% here that are in the playoff race. So Alex Lyon is probably the number one guy. He's surprisingly only 48% rostered right now. Mm-hmm. He was way up there, but then kind of struggled. And then James Reimer was getting starts, and then people went off of him, and then never really figured out that he was back in the mix again. So he's actually played extremely well lately.
I
think you put here that he's probably going to get three of the remaining four starts because they do have one back-to-back. They're battling it out. He's playing well, not necessarily getting the wins just because the scoring in front of him hasn't been as strong, but I like Alex Lyon for sure if he's out there. Alex Nedeljkovic, he's probably my number one right now. He is playing everything. He's played nine straight games, and at Pittsburgh just I guess doesn't have any back-to-backs or haven't lately.
Keep going.
They're just rolling with Nedeljkovic. So he's 28% rostered. This is another guy that it seems like no one's really noticed that he's figuring it out, he's been so strong the last little while. So I think that, and Pittsburgh, honestly, of the teams that are in the race, they're playing the best out of any of them. Yep. So I trust Nedeljkovic more than probably any of these other guys right now. So that would be my number one. Then I'd probably go Alex Lyon. You put Semyon Varlamov. He's been playing like pretty much a 50-50 split with Sorokin. So there is potential for him to get three games. Like he has played a little bit better. So if they feel like he's the hot goalie, they're going to go with him three out of four games, but there's a little bit more risk there just because Sorokin is in the mix. So
yep.
I think, Nedeljkovic and Lyon are more sure things, but Varlamov is definitely a guy I'm interested in too. Outside of that, Mrazek is probably up there just because, again, that's another guy you know who's going to play, he's going to get volume. It's just a little volatile in terms of, is he going to allow eight goals or is he going to shut somebody out? You don't really know.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, the reason I put these goalies out here too in this manner is just because starts are obviously important. Like, I'm not a big fan of one-day goalie streams. I mean, you can do it in a pinch, right? But to me, like, we still have enough time where if we need to pick up a goal, you can get a guy like Alex Lyon who's getting the lion's share of starts. Yeah. Have you ever seen pictures of Alex Lyon? He seems like a character. Like, every time he sees a camera, he like stares directly at it, like deeply, and makes like a really funny face.
Like that a lion.
Yeah, that just made me like him even more. Like, this guy seems like a wing nut, and I'm here for it. So, yeah, big Alex Lyon fan over here. I did want to mention as well, Korpisalo, Jonas Korpisalo. He is 52% rostered, but he's getting all the starts in Ottawa there, which is not a good team. But he started 9 of the last 10 games. I think he's going to get 3 of the last 4 in Ottawa. So if he's out there, you could do worse, right? But, I mean, like, if you look at this, like, I think I definitely agree with you. I'd be looking at Nedeljkovic first and then Lyon second, because these are teams that have something to play for, and they're going to be bringing their A game to try and win some. So I don't know. There you go. There's a little zero G help for you, but zero G works, folks. All right. And that's all I have to say about that. All right, let's move on. Oh God, I could go off on a tangent. All right. We got to finish up with our mailbag segment. Mail time. Yeah, I was trying to throw to you. We could do the harmonization.
I know that's hard to do over stream.
We'll fix it in post. Don't worry. We'll have a nice harmonized, beautiful music together that Josh and I make. All right. You got to get your guitar out again, buddy, because I can just go
a cappella. Here's the mail that never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail.
Yo. You know what? If you don't have kids, do not watch Blue's Clues. All right. But if you have it. It's pretty damn good. I got to say that right now.
It's totally fine.
Yeah. Are you a Bluey person? You guys watch Bluey over there? We probably talked about
that. Yeah, we do. We do a little bit. It's not as big of a hit with my kids. They go through stretches where they're into Bluey, and we binge it for a little bit, and then it goes dry. But I think that show's sick. I honestly love Bluey. Yeah.
I watch it by myself. I don't even care. I got misty, literally getting misty. Does this happen to you too as a dad? Like, you just randomly start tearing up when you're driving your car by yourself. You're like, oh God, what's happening? And like, I'm watching. Oh, maybe not. All right. God.
I do have moments. I was talking to my wife the other day, because there was a moment. Now I'm going to get really sentimental, just kind of out of nowhere. Oh, but God.
We have to.
There was just a moment one night where my nearly three-year-old daughter, she pooped on the potty, and she was really excited about it. She's like, "Daddy, I pooped!" And she just ran over and gave me a big hug. And it was like this moment where I'm just like, I need to enjoy this, because this is not going to last forever. But it was just like this moment of like, I can still picture it, her like running the length of the house and like just jumping and giving me a big hug. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Oh, buddy. She's going to grow up someday.
That's a nice piece of awareness though, man. I don't know. Like, did our parents think that way? I don't know, but like I had something similar the other day, like during Easter, my son, we went to this like community egg hunt or something like that. So we're all out there. You got the kids lined up like Braveheart, basically. You know what I mean? They're all ready to go run out of the field. And it was exactly like Braveheart. Like the lady there, she was like jacking them up, like, "Are you ready?" They're like, "Yeah." And I took a picture of my son. He's basically holding his fist.
Freedom.
Like, yes. At the top of his lungs, I have a picture of it. And just the joy on this kid's face, the excitement. Like I look at it, I'm like, oh, God, we are digressing, but this is good parent stuff right here, because it's pretty damn fun, and you don't know until you know. And if you don't have kids, it's fine too, right? But
this does fit the demographic of our audience, to be fair.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of our most of our audience is like men in their 30s to 50s with kids. For the most part, it's not always not unanimously, but like for the most part, that's how it seems.
Yeah, that's true. And absolutely, if not, I mean, we're an hour into the episode. All right. Thank you for sticking around for the hour mark, everybody. All right. We digressed, and we don't care. That's what we do. All right. It's near the end of the season. We're having fun. Let's do a mailbag segment really quick. We got some good stuff in here. We're going to do rapid fire. Josh, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, God. Okay, well, this first one's like a super ethereal question, but I can come up with a bunch of stuff. All right, Drewski, Team Furious from the Discord says, season/playoff regrets. You got any of those? Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I talked about dropping Jamie Benn in the Kickupful and keeping Matt Duchene. That was a big one. There's quite a few regrets. I think I was overly patient. Like I think one of my my biggest strength and my biggest weakness is my patience, because sometimes I will wait too long to move off of somebody. And there were points this year with some teams. I know there was in the Listener League too. That was the worst performance I've ever had in fantasy hockey. I ended up in ninth place, and it was tough. It was basically every player that I went in on was a buy low at the start of the year. It was incredible. I had my 1-2 punch was Tage Thompson and Kirill Kaprizov. I had Trevor Zegras, Zach Werenski, who was hurt for a while at the start of the year. And basically, like, the first, I mean, 6 or 7 weeks was just like, it was awful. It was so bad. And then I couldn't pull myself out of it. And yeah, I think I probably could have made more moves. I did trade Tage Thompson for Zibanejad and Thomas Chabot, which at the time I was like, I felt like that was pretty good value. And in the end, it probably was. But yeah. Zibanejad also never really popped. Yeah. Chabot had injury troubles. So yeah, that, I mean, I have a number of regrets. But in terms of in terms of successes, I went in really hard on Roman Josi, and that I think was big. I got chirped a lot for it by people in like YouTube comments and stuff like that. They're like, Roman Josi, what are you doing picking him in the second round? And he's been so awesome this year. Like, he's getting Norris votes. I can almost guarantee it. So I think that that was like sticking to my guns on Josi was definitely felt good. I feel like there are a couple other guys that I felt good about. I guess going 0G and picking up Sergei Bobrovsky in like five leagues really late in the draft. That was huge too. That was really nice because didn't use much draft capital and was able to keep him for basically the whole season, and he performed well for me. So that was definitely a good success as well. But those are the ones off the top of my head that I can think of. I'm sure when we do a deep dive of like a season in review, I'll be able to kind of look back and find some more things. But what do you think, Blake?
Yeah, no, it's that stuff all tracks. I had very similar situations in a lot. I had a lot of success in probably half my leagues. And then the other half, there was just some weird stuff that I was doing. Like, I find it difficult when a league has like a move cap, you know what I mean? So like there's 30 moves per season, or like I played a full bangers category league and they had 75 moves and I used all those up before the season was done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
so that's something to me, it's a regret, I guess. Like, I need to be more thoughtful in terms of that. Like, cause I love you have 4 moves a week and you just use them all. Like, that's how I love to play, but it doesn't mean it's the right way to play. I need to kind of figure out how to manage my moves a little bit better and put a little more stock into, I always put stock into my drafting, but like just really in that particular league, think about my drafts as players that I'm going to have all year, as opposed to like, you know, I'll get off this player. And that said too, that bangers league that I played in, that was probably my worst performance that I had. And it was a 16 teamer. Full bangers, PIMs, all this. And yeah, I went 0G and I would again, but I think I waited a little too long to get a goalie because in category leagues, I think goalies have a little bit more value. So like, there's just a bit more value there. So I'm not saying draft them like any higher. Like, I feel like you need to find where that sweet spot is, right? Like I don't even know who I ended up with. Like, I think Vanacek and like some other stinker, I don't know. And then by the end of the season, like my team was really good, the skaters, but my goalies were terrible and I was getting crushed on those categories. So I traded for UPL, but it was a little too little too late in that point. I didn't make the playoffs in that league. So yeah, long story short, I think I need to manage those leagues a little better with the move caps. Cause yeah, it's not the way I like playing, but you know, it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Agreed. Not do leagues with move caps. That's the other side.
Yeah, I guess. Oh man. But I just, you know what? I kind of like your idea. All right. I'm moving with that. All right. Okay. So there you go. That is our regerts. Okay. Craigers from the Discord says 12 team points league, points for goals, assists, PIMs, shots. Who would you keep? Heischer or Paterka?
What do you think? Oh man. I think you got to go with Heischer, right? Like the ceiling is higher. Like I know that Paterka is really popping off right now and coming into his own, but Heischer, you gotta stick with him. I don't know what you think, Blake.
Yep. I think, I think Paterka has a higher ceiling if everything goes right. But I mean, it's if, right? Like if he gets 20 minutes a night next season, if he gets on power play one, if he gets on the top line, where we know that Heischer is a staple in that top six there in Jersey.
Yeah.
So I think you have to go with Heischer just for safety, right? I mean, if Paterka has another year similar to this, gets another 60 points next year and does show that consistency in the top six, like, you know, then we can talk then. But I think in terms of a keeper for next season, I think Heischer's the play. Plus he's also the captain. I like having the captains, like drafting the captains on my team. I don't know about you, but I just find they have so much more to play for. And even you look at a guy like Quinn Hughes on Vancouver, like this guy elevated his game in conjunction with the fact that he became the captain of the Vancouver Canucks. Like, I feel like there's something mental that happens when a player becomes captain. It can be good or bad, but you know, I think a lot of players play better when they get that extra responsibility. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
The thing about Paterka too, sorry to kind of switch gears, but Buffalo is so deep in terms of their prospect pool, and there's guys that are pretty much ready to make the jump. Like I could see Yuri Kulich making a jump next year. He's played really well in the AHL. I don't know if you saw his shootout goal on Twitter from the other day, but it was God, the hands on that guy is unbelievable.
Silky mitts.
Yeah, and then Matthew Savoy is another guy that's in their system. So I mean, there's some guys in the pipeline. So it's like, sure, Paterka's popping off right now, and he's in that spot. But like, is he? I don't know. Are there going to be guys that surpass him moving forward? So I don't know if are we talking about a keeper league? Sorry,
keeper for next year. Okay, yeah.
So keeper for next year, I think, absolutely, I'm going Nico Heischer. I think his spot in the lineup is the safest out of the two. And I mean, I could see his point production increasing. Actually, I think New Jersey's going to be better next year.
Oh, you know what? I might even be wrong on that. I'm rereading this here now. 12 team points, league points for goals, assists, PIM, shots. Who would you keep? So maybe he's talking.
The season.
Yeah, to cover it. What would you do rest of the season?
Maybe rest of the season. I think then maybe. I mean, they both don't have great schedules. But
they're both 3-1.
I'd probably go. I might go with Paterka actually. If it's just for the rest of the season,
I think so too. Yeah. I think I'd take Paterka as well for the rest of the season. He's sure for next year. If it's a keeper, I don't know. Yeah. I can't read, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Next question. Dirty Deed says keepers league points only, assists and goals, same value. So it's like 1-1 for each. Having trouble picking my last two keepers to bring over for next season. If you had to pick two of these guys, who would it be? So two players out of Carter Verhaeghe, Travis Konecny, Kevin Fiala, Alex Tuck, Valerie Nichushkin, and Vinny Trow. Who are you picking as your two?
I think Carter Verhaeghe is an easy pick. I think Verhaeghe is a smash accept for me. And then I'd probably bounce around either Konecny or Fiala. I think I'd probably go with Konecny just because he's such an important player on that team and consistently gets the minutes. With the periffs, I mean, it's hard though, because part of his value is the shots and the periffs. Kevin Fiala, I think has a more of a point ceiling, than Konecny. So that's a tough one actually, because, Konecny has a safer spot in the lineup. Fiala his spot kind of fluctuates. So that's a difficult one, but I don't know. I'm leaning towards Konecny, over Fiala, but it's close for that second spot. What do you think, man?
Yeah, really close. I think Verhaeghe's a slam there for sure. You got to pick him up. This guy's amazing. And then I'm liking Nichushkin as well, but I don't know about next season. You know what I mean? Like, if Landeskog comes back, like, does he get the 20 minute treatment? Like, if Nichushkin gets this 20 minute treatment that he's got for most of the year, like, he's on an 82 point pace. This guy looked amazing. He's incredible as on the power play, but is he going to get power play one if Landeskog comes back, or, and you know, they got Drew N there now, like who's getting power play one? So I think that's a little bit iffy for me. So it does come down to Konecny and Fiala for me. And I think I'd go Fiala just because I don't like torts and I don't trust the deployment there. Right. But I mean, it's really close. I think Fiala, his role isn't quite as secure as Konecny. but it's hard to say that, right? Like Konechny's secure right now, but what happens when he pisses Torts off or like misses an assignment and then gets healthy scratched and then he's pissed off for the next 3 weeks and requests a trade and I don't know what the hell. So I think I'd take Verhaeghe and Fiala, but you know, you could make a case for Konechny, no question. All right. Yeah. Rolling on, dear God, we're getting long in the tooth, but I don't care. All right, it's cream of the crop. It'd probably be the last regular season. It is the last regular season, cream of the crop. So this is our show, and we're doing what we want with it. All right, the great one says, I'm in the finals in my 12-team keeper bangers cats league. If my boys McKinnon and Brady Tkachuk lead me to the promised land, it'll be a three-peat. My question is, can I trust them? I think it's a pretty safe bet that you can trust McKinnon and Brady Tkachuk. Did you see Brady Tkachuk got some ridiculous hit count the other day, like 14 hits or something like that?
I think it was 16. 16? It was 16 hits, which supposedly was the single game record since they started recording hits in the NHL.
What an animal. I mean, like, you can trust these guys. If, like, you know, I think it's probably going to be your supporting cast that you're going to need to work on, right? You got McKinnon and Brady Tkachuk. You're good to go if it's bangers cats. Like, bangers cats, Brady Tkachuk? Damn, that's insane. You know, McKinnon's he's on 140-point pace. Brady is on 73-point pace. Love it. Yeah. Metrics are crazy for both players. Yeah, you can absolutely trust those players. I think we can move on. News feeds says, I don't expect there to be much, if any, but is there an episode for actual NHL playoffs for general playoff points drafts? Let's see. Yeah, I think it's basically just, are we doing an episode for playoff leagues here? And I'm happy to say we are. I'm going to do one for sure. I'm going to run an Apples and Geno's playoff pool here. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a tight knit crew, but we are going to run one, and we'll help you prep that as well. I don't know, Josh, you're going to do any stuff on rolling lines with the playoff stuff?
I don't know. I usually take a break for the playoffs just because I typically don't do a lot of playoff leagues just because I'm usually burnt out from the regular season, and I like just watching the games in the playoffs and kind of enjoying the storylines, which is something that I find when I'm like really in the weeds of fantasy hockey, sometimes I lose the fun of the storylines and I don't enjoy them as much. So I find that I tend to take a break a little bit and refresh. Whereas I don't get like the like immediate itch to try and continue with fantasy hockey right after the regular season. Like I'm okay having a little break. So
how very mature of you, Josh. All right. I can't stop. All right. I won't stop ever. It's a real problem here, but I'm already like confirmed for two playoff leagues and or I don't know what the hell. So keep your ears glued to Apples and Geno's here. Check out the Discord. I'm going to be posting some stuff there, and we'll get some playoff pools going. Okay. All right. A couple more questions and then we're done. Thank you for sticking with us, folks. I really appreciate that. JJ2EZ says, weekly lineup points league, I benched Shesterkin for both Seattle goalies, Grubauer and Decord, because of the number of goalie starts. Do you agree? So for reference, I mean, Seattle plays five more games, right? So he's getting five games from those two goalies. New York plays, what do? They play three games with one off night. So yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Josh?
I mean, so is this like a, do you have to set your lineups at the start of the week? Yeah. Is that what it is?
That's my understanding there. Weekly lineup. Okay, So he started them this week. He just wants to feel good about his decision.
Right. Right. I don't hate that. I don't hate that at all. I mean, typically I prefer to make a bet on one guy in a tandem and then just go with, I mean, Shesterkin is a fairly safe bet because New York has been so hot lately. So maybe I would have just chosen one of the Seattle guys, whoever I was more comfortable with, whoever based on the schedule, whoever seemed to be getting maybe more starts or one or the other, and then gone with Shesterkin for the other spot. But I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to criticize too much there.
Yeah, it's hard to really criticize when we don't know the exact specifics of the league. But yeah, I think I would agree with that. Like, it's not a whiff by any means. Like, you're getting two games. You're getting two extra games here, right? And that's assuming that Shesterkin gets all three New York games, which maybe he won't. Maybe Quick will get in there for one of those. Yeah. But I think I'd rather have Shesterkin and probably Grubauer, right? I think if you look into it, Grubauer's been getting the majority of starts. So that's probably the way I would have went if I was going to go with a Seattle Tendy. But, you know, potato, potato. I think you're still in good shape. You're getting two extra games played, which is really valuable. All right. A couple questions from Twitter. Here for the hockey says, I'd love to hear you guys discuss this one if you have time. I'm in a keep three. My locks are McDavid and Bouchard. I thought Tage would be one, but I don't know. I have Dobson, Barzal, Gensel, Demko, Fox, Konechny. Kakupful points league. Who are you keeping? So Dobson, Tage, Barzal, Gensel, Demko, Fox, Konechny.
Yeah, I'm probably still keeping Tage. I think that this guy is gonna pop next year. He's gonna be a guy that is a huge buy low candidate. So and his draft stock is definitely going to decrease, although this hot streak at the end of the season, I think people are noticing it. So maybe that kind of tempers things. But like, if he never had this stretch, I think his stock plummets in terms of drafts next year, just because it's been such a tough year. But the metrics are great for him. I think that out of all these guys, there are some good names. Like Jake Gensel is an interesting guy, but also we don't know if he's going to stay in Carolina. So that's a bit of, there's some risk there. And outside of that, I don't think that there's anyone even really there even really competes with Tage. I would go with Tage for sure.
Yep. I would agree with that. It's got to be big Tage. This guy's going to smash next season. I think we're looking at minimum point per game player, as long as, like, you know, some of this deployment evens itself out, right? I don't know why Don Granato doesn't put him out, give him the 20 minute treatment. This guy's an elite player, an elite offensive player. What the hell are we doing? Oh my God. So anyways, you got to go Tage there. All right. Next question. Simon Gauthier says, in a points league only keeper dynasty, it's a 10 teamer. How would you rank the following defenders with the most offensive upside potential for the next 1 to 3 years? I'll give you a bunch of names. Let's talk about our top three, because we're not going to rank all 10 because dang. All right. We're getting long in the tooth. But so pick three of these players to keep in that format for 1 to 3 years. Jacob Chychrun, Noah Hanifin, Sean Durzi, the professor, Mike Matheson, Philip Hronek, Thomas Harley, Brock Faber, Moritz Seider. What say you, Josh?
Okay, so I'm going to look at these guys in a bit of a vacuum here. So Jacob Chychrun, in terms of metrics, I think is a smash number one out of all of these guys. It's just the opportunity. Like, is he going to get opportunity? Where is he going to go? Like, is he going to get traded? Yeah. And if he goes somewhere else, is he going to get an opportunity to play more minutes, to play on the top power play? Because I think if he does, he absolutely is the number one choice of all of these players. I probably stick with him as my number one. My number two is probably, I mean, there's a few guys that are in this next tier. Thomas Harley, I think I'd probably go with number two here. Then I go with, there's a bunch of guys. I'm looking at Durzi, Matheson, Hronek. If Philip Hronek stays in Vancouver, I probably go with Hronek next. Then Sean Durzi, then Mike Matheson, then Noah Hanifin, then Mo Seider, then Brock Faber. I think Brock Faber is at the bottom in terms of points. So, I'm happy with that. Also, is it Simon Gauthier? Just because I'm looking at the French last name. I don't know. Maybe it's Simon.
I like that. I don't know. Okay. I like that. This is an interesting exercise. So you know what? I'll give my take here, and I'm surprised, buddy. I'm a little surprised. I love Jacob Chychrun. Don't get me wrong, but Mike Matheson, what the hell? No, this man needs to be number one, the professor. All right. He's buku deployment, periffs out the wazoo. And you know, he's cooking, and that's a team that should be on an upwards trajectory. So I'm taking Mike Matheson first there. You know, 1 to 3 years. Yeah. Mike Matheson, I don't know. What is he, like 29 or something? Like, that's probably the 3 years, that's probably the shelf life on Mike Matheson. So yeah, you were getting him at his ceiling here, but I do feel good about Matheson. Chychrun next for sure. I got to go Thomas Harley too. I like that. This guy's great. He is behind Heiskanen there in Dallas, but he plays with them at times and he doesn't exactly need power play one to really pop. So, I think that's a guy you got to have in a dynasty league. Thomas Harley looks really good. Nice statistical profile. Noah Hanifin next, Philip Hronek. God, Mo. Oh no. Yeah. Mo Sider. I'll go Brock Faber and then I'll go Dursey as my last one.
I'm
not stoked on Sean Dursey at this point. And yeah. Brock Faber, I think we don't know what this player is, in my opinion. Like, he's so young and he's getting insane deployment. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if in 2 to 3 years, like, this guy's metrics look a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think he's a great player to be able to do what he's done at this point in his career. The minutes, like, that's a player that I'm excited about. And Mo Sider, I think he's probably a consistent, like, 40 to 45 point guy, regardless of power play time. And I know it's points only here, but if you have any periffs whatsoever, this guy's, you know, he's a freaking beefer, as we know.
I know if you put Declan Chisholm on this list, he's my smash number one.
Oh, absolutely. Declan Chisholm. Declan, no, you know Chisholm. What we're missing here? Tony D'Angelo.
All right. Oh, yeah, baby.
Comeback season for Tony D.
Will he play another NHL game?
I don't know. He needs an attitude adjustment. I think that's probably the issue here.
Tony D'Angelo has KHL written all over him.
I think so. He could really pop off in the KHL. Yeah, I wish him all the best. Last one here. This is from my boy, Johnny. Johnny Jackson. All right, cool name. All right, he's got two questions. Johnny, we're only going to do one of them, all right? Because damn, this is a beefer of an episode, and we don't care. All right, this question, top three targets next year for buy lows. Joshy, have you thought about this at all? Just right off the top of your head, what are you thinking for top three buy lows?
Yeah, I mean, I think Tage Thompson is my number one. I think that guy, we already kind of talked about it. I think that he's going to pop. Man, I feel bad because you put notes in and I didn't, but I like the three guys that you chose.
Oh, yeah, Timo, I've got other guys too.
Timo Meier would have been another pick of mine for sure. Why don't you go? I'm just going to take another quick look here, but you go and you list a couple guys here.
Yeah, so I put Tage here for sure. I think this guy's going to be a smash next season, and we're going to get him at value, right? So I'm excited about Tage. And I put Jack Hughes here as well, just because we didn't see what Jack Hughes' potential is. We saw it for a little bit at the beginning until he got slammed into the boards there. He lost an edge and slammed into the boards. And that was kind of it for his, like, the true Jack Hughes. So I think Jack Hughes might fall out of the first round next season. And that is where we pounce, right? Jack Hughes in the second round. Oh my God, for fantasy. That's a dunk, right? So I think that guy is going to be a major buy low. And then, I mean, yeah, I put Timo here as well. I think Timmy Stützle could bounce back a little bit. I mean, Ottawa in general, it's been really rough. They're going to need to figure out what they're doing over there with their coaching and their systems and everything. It's just been a bad vibe over there, but Stützle is a player I'm low key excited about. He was drafted too high this season, clearly, but I think that might swing the other way next season. I don't know. What do you think?
So this is a slight buy low. So in terms of Tim Stützle, I'm not sure. I think that there probably will be a little bit of a bounce back there, but it's been tough in Ottawa, and I mean, his metrics have never been amazing. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to safely say that he's going to have a huge bounce back. I think that, Wyatt Johnston, we talked about him. I think that's a guy that could potentially pop off. Mitch Marner is a guy that I could see his draft stock decreasing. Like, he's had some injury troubles. The start of the year, he wasn't as productive. So guys that were hard in on Mitch Marner, I think maybe a little bit soured. But at the same time, he plays in Toronto, and typically Leafs get overdrafted, even if they're like, they should be near the top of the draft board. Like, people are usually overdrafting guys like Mitch Marner, and him especially. I feel like he's always drafted a little bit higher than I want him, but that's a guy that I would, I'd probably throw in the mix in that conversation. Brandon Montour, I'm going to go with him. I'm going to go hard in on Brandon Montour. This is a guy that is going to still have this power play deployment. His metrics have been pretty steady
for the most part
all season. It's just like the puck luck has not been there. You wonder if he gets a full off season. Well, I mean, we'll see. I don't know about a full off season if Florida goes on a run here in the playoffs, but he's a guy that I think could really pop next year, and people have really soured on him. So, that's a guy that I would be looking at for sure. Deeper into drafts, like you could be drafting him as your three to four D, and he ends up being your one D.
I can see that happening.
Yeah, for sure. So that's a guy I would throw into the ring. But I think that I think Tage Thompson and Timo Meier are two big names that I think are not going to get enough respect at draft season that you can capitalize on.
Oh, yeah. And stick around with Apples and Genos here, because we are going to give you all that content all off season. It's going to be good. We got our finger on the pulse. All right. So we're going to let you know all that value from the ADPs. I'm really excited about what's going to happen here in the off season. And Josh is here with me, buddy. Oh, it's going to be awesome. But man, I'm happy to have you here. It was really good to do another episode together. We got to do more of these, as we know, because they're always awesome. All right. But Josh is over at Twitter at just Josh41. So definitely check him out there. Josh, what do you have to say for yourself?
What do I have to say for myself? Yeah. Happy playoffs, motherfuckers.
Oh my God. Thank you for the, you know what? It's 90 minutes in. No one's listening to that. All right. That's fine. We'll fix it in post. Joshy, I love you, buddy. My brother in fantasy. It's good to see you. This has been a great season, and I'm looking forward to doing some offseason stuff with you. That's it, everybody. This has been Cream of the Crop. Thank you so much for listening. Celebrate your day. Bye for now.
So much happening.